Well, hello, everyone. If you are taking the time to receive this content, I want to begin by thanking you. I want to address three audiences this morning. I'm going to make a couple of quick, or today, whatever time you may be viewing or listening, but three audiences that I'm going to address in a couple of announcements, and then I'm going to get into last week's message. The first audience would be a first-time listener or viewer. First of all, just want to thank you for connecting. Our church has recently expanded from a small property and facility that we have used for decades and own into. We have expanded into the auditorium of a high school next door to us. We've converted our current location into a kids' campus, and so we've sort of created two locations on one street. And in the process of that, we've had a couple of difficulties technologically that have not allowed us to stream our actual services to our YouTube channel and podcast platforms and the places that people receive our content. And so if you're new, welcome. That's kind of what I'm sitting in my home office here to do, is to catch people up and keep people informed. The second audience that I want to communicate to is our serve team. I want to just begin by just saying a very, very big thank you to every single person across every single team that is serving our church amazingly and faithfully in order for us to see this expansion through. I would imagine that if you're seeing this video, there's probably a small portion of disappointment from you, because there are many of you who your current service, we just get a few things off the ground in this expansion, you've yet to be able to participate in an actual Sunday morning service with us. And so I want to begin by thanking you for your sacrifice and your effort. And then I want to follow it up with an apology for our inability so far to give you an actual service experience, even in a digital way. Basically, what's going on is this, just so that you know, the problems that we're facing are still currently outside of our own control. We are aggressively moving the needle, though. And so we anticipate that this coming weekend, at a minimum, we will be able to record the Sunday service and then post-produce that onto our platforms for you to be able to view back later. The ability to live stream is still in question, but we are working on that. Which brings me to the live stream, or what we call the church online audience. There are many of you that will stream the services live on Sunday mornings, and there are many of you that will, most of you actually play it back at a later time during the week. And I just want to do the same thing. I want to thank you for being patient with us in the very beginning of this. And then I want to apologize that we've not been able to serve you the way that you're accustomed to. We are really working hard to make that happen. Some of the things that we're doing, for example, are we will be in the high school over the next two Saturdays with some of our gear out, just troubleshooting, working through some things. As you guys can imagine, in the current environment that we're in, some of our gear that we ordered has not even arrived yet. So we've been kind of working with some bridge situations. Some of that gear is set to arrive this week. And so that will certainly accelerate our ability to solve some of these problems as well. And then as soon as we could, which would not be this coming weekend, Saturday the 9th, but Saturday the 16th, we are flying in a professional from Michigan who will be in there to help us troubleshoot, resolve some of these problems, and help us make our Easter, which is our grand opening, make our Easter as excellent as possible. So I just wanted to give all of that kind of announcement to you guys, and just wanted to really, again, I just want to apologize for those of you that feel underserved right now. And then I just wanted to thank all of you that are serving so faithfully right now. Every one of you are making such a big difference, and I love you so much. So what I've been doing since we've been having these issues is just coming to you from my home office. And so this is a way that takes very, very little effort from any of our team outside of myself. I can capture at least a reproduction of our message from the weekend to serve you in the best way that I can. This is my personal way to try to serve you for serving others. And then it takes little to no effort from any other team members, but I will give a special shout out to Miss Catherine, who gets this out to our serve team. And I'm going to give a shout out to Joe, who gets this out to everybody else. So thank you guys for backing me up on this and helping make this content available to those that want to receive it. Okay, what I'm going to do now is I want to move into the message. And so this, again, is to serve those that are serving and have yet to be connected to the actual service with us. That will end prayerfully sooner than later. And then this is to serve those of you that just follow along with us, no matter who you are, right, or where you are. I just wanted to bring the message from the weekend to you guys. And so we've been in this series, and the series that we're in, we've been calling Beyond These Walls. The big idea of this series is simply this, that we as a church are trying to maintain an urgency about the Great Commission of Jesus. Jesus said, hey, I want you to go into all the world and I want you to share the gospel with everybody everywhere. And then he said, hey, I want you to make disciples of all nations. And so as a church, we are trying to maintain this urgency and awareness that, man, Jesus has called us to the Great Commission to share the gospel. And so when we were in our small location, which is now currently our kids' campus, we began to create a mantra, hey, God's called us beyond these walls. And that's when the vision began to reveal about our expansion into the high school's auditorium right next door. Well, once we got into the doors of the high school, my very first message to our church was, hey, God's called us beyond these walls. This is not the goal. The goal is the gospel gets out. The goal is that the church takes the message outward. One day we will have a adequate facility to serve our church of our own, a permanent home. And once we have that, the reality is that we still are called to go beyond these walls. And so my heart as a pastor is to try to just maintain an urgency among us all that, man, let's don't forget what Jesus has called us to. Let's go communicate the gospel. Let's go make disciples and love on people. And so I'm going to start, I titled my message for this week, Share the Story. And I want to give you a little context. I'm going to take you to a story with John the Baptist, Jesus, and a couple of disciples. And so John the Baptist, if you know anything about him, is the ultimate proponent of Jesus. Like he was such an impactful person that some thought that he might have been Christ himself. And I'll just pause right here that sometimes people have such big impact in our lives that we want to elevate them to places that maybe they should not be. We might elevate them to a place like God or like Christ. And one of the things that I love and respect so much about John the Baptist is that he was quick to just be like, that is not who I am. Don't misplace me. I want to make sure that you understand I'm just pointing to Jesus. And so he would say things like, I'm just a voice of one shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. So he never tried to take the credit that wasn't due him. And so, but what he was the ultimate proponent of Christ Jesus. So there's this moment, and I'm gonna give you a little bit of context. I honestly find it a little bit like comical and humorous. There's this moment where the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that John is having a conversation with two of his disciples. So he is baptizing people and doing ministry, and at some level and at some point, he's having a conversation with two of his disciples. Meanwhile, Jesus walks by. When Jesus goes by, John the Baptist is like, hey, there's the Messiah. The thing that strikes me as funny is that his two disciples just leave him and they just start following Jesus, and they become two of Jesus's disciples. And then the story continues with the disciples and Jesus. The thing that made me laugh is I'm thinking to myself, like, well, what did John do? Like, can you imagine that he's like just trying to invest into the people that he loves and that he leads. And then he's like, oh, hey, by the way, there goes Jesus. And then boop, they're just gone. And I just saw myself like being out on a date with my wife. And, you know, maybe some guy pulls by with some amazing car. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, look at that sweet car. And then some, you know, handsome rich guy gets out of it. And then my wife just leaves like, I'll just go with him. You know, like, what would I be doing, right? I just found the comedy in that. And by the way, my wife would never, certainly never actually do that. But there's not a man alive that wouldn't let her come if she wanted to follow, right? But my point is that I just thought it was so funny. So I really don't know what John the Baptist did after that. Did he just walk off? Did he just turn? Did he have other disciples he went to? I don't know. But I want to take you down the trail of the story of what these two disciples, what happened next in the story. So we're going to go to John chapter 1, verse 40 and 42. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. So he's one of the guys standing there when he said, hey, that's Jesus, and then he leaves. And so he's one of the two that heard and then began to follow Jesus. And verse 41 is where I want to emphasize. Watch what happens. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ. Verse 42, and then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. I love it. So just hang on to that. The first thing he does after encountering Christ Jesus is he goes and tells his brother. He brings him along. We'll move on. Verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And so then he responds, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael's asking. And then Philip says to him, just come and see for yourself. You got to just come and see for yourself. And so I want to share some things that I think we can learn from the disciples in this context, because there's some very important things that take place that I think we as followers of Jesus can also learn from out of this story. If we are actually going to fulfill the Great Commission of Jesus, then we should be going to tell everybody. The Bible says, like, share the good news with everybody everywhere. But then it levels up and says, and then make disciples. So it's not that we only want people to hear about Jesus. We want people to grow into a relationship with Jesus. So as a church, this is a mantra for us. Like this, in fact, this should be the mantra and mission of the church. We certainly, like I tell people all the time, like I can't be responsible for the whole church, but I am responsible for this one. And so as the pastor of Church on the Rock, I want to keep this urgency. Man, let's do the Great Commission. Let's live it out. Let's be the church and let's live beyond these walls. And so there's some things that I want to point out to you that I think are very important we can learn from this story. And the first one is this, that if I'm going to be the kind of person that lives beyond these walls, if I'm going to be the kind of person that goes, that takes the good news everywhere, that is a disciple maker for Christ Jesus, then there are three things that I think that we can do. And the first one, number one, is this, is experience. The thing that happened with these disciples first is that they experienced Jesus. These guys are hanging out with John. John's like, there, that is the guy that I've been talking about, that I preach about, like that's him. And they go. And what I think is easy to overlook is that these two men have an encounter. They experience Christ Jesus for themselves. I think this is something that could never be overstated. The importance, if you're a follower of Jesus like I am, the importance to have an experience with Jesus, not just once, but over and over and over and over and over again, to continually experience Christ in new ways. One of the things that I love about our church, we have the, and you know this if you're a part of our family, that we just believe that what God wants for all mankind is for people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. What I love about those four things is this, that you might have this moment where you know God for the first time, But the best part about knowing God is that you can always know him more and more. So that knowing of God is one of the best parts about being a follower of Jesus, because it always expands and it always deepens. And there's always more that I can learn and that I can discover, that I can experience with God, having that experience with him, to know him more. And even though I may have found freedom from something in my life in the past, the chances are really good, because we're flawed individuals, that there's something we need freedom from now. And the chances are really good that, because we're flawed individuals, that in our future, there's something else we're going to need freedom from then. And so not only can I know God more and more and more, but I can find freedom over and over and over again. And then not only can I discover a purpose for my life, but I can discover different purposes for my life in different seasons. And so I may have had a purpose in my life as a single, let's say, but then wound up married and I had a different, a renewed purpose. It was different now, because now part of my purpose is to be a husband. Well, then if once children are involved, then at that point, the purpose will change again, because now it's to be a husband and a father. And so what I love about this journey of faith is that I can know God, and then I can know God more and more. I can find freedom, and I can find freedom again and again and again. I can discover purpose, and I can continue discovering purposes throughout my journey of faith. And even though I may have made a difference in someone's life yesterday, I can make a difference in someone's life today. I can make a difference in someone's life tomorrow. And what I love about this journey of faith and these pillars, if you will, that we focus on at our church, is that they're not one and dones. They're continual, renewable things that should be happening in the life of the believer. But here's the thing. In order for them to happen, I have to continue to experience God. I need to walk this faith walk with Jesus every single day. I want to read you a couple of verses, some powerful things. James chapter 4, verse 8, it's probably one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. It's a promise, and the Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It says to cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And I want to just, I don't want to just read the first part of the verse. I want to read the whole verse, because what it's saying is that if I'm pursuing a relationship with God, he's pursuing a relationship with me. This is an interactive thing. I can know God more and more and more. What I love is that I can experience the presence and the power of Jesus over and over again. And then what happens is, in that experience, is it transforms me. It's going to point to sinful things in my life, that the relationship is going to work out, that the conviction of the Holy Spirit might cause me to say, man, I need to work on this, focus on this, change this. I need to stop doing some things. I need to start doing some things. There are some areas that aren't as pure as God would like them to be. Maybe you didn't know that 2 years ago, but maybe you're becoming more aware of that now. And so what I love about this promise is that the experience that I have walking with God is transformative in my life season by season. One more verse, and I'll go to point number two. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, this is God speaking, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. We can experience Jesus. We can experience a reality of knowing God. And here's my emphasis. Here's the big idea of point number one, that if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, living out the Great Commission, that I'm taking on the mantra that I will share the gospel, I will make disciples. For me to try to live that out without having a continued experience with Jesus, something's missing. It's problematic. Quite frankly, it isn't going to work. For us to stay on mission, we must be like these two disciples, walk with Jesus, experience Christ in your life, the transformative, loving, gracious power of God in your life. Guys, we got to experience it. Getting into God's word, getting into prayer, getting into atmospheres that draw our hearts closer to God, be it church on on the weekends, or if it's a life group during the week, if it's serving on a team to make a difference, what are the things that are getting me connected to the heart of God? I need to walk with Jesus. I must experience him. The second thing that I notice in these disciples is this, and you'll see it. You'll see it right here in verse 41. The first thing Andrew did, the first thing he did was he went and told his brother, like, dude, I've experienced something you should experience. The thing that Philip did was he says to his brother Nathaniel, come see for yourself. Come see for yourself. Number two. So the second thing that we need to do is that we just need to be a witness. So the first thing is that we experience Christ for ourselves. The second thing that we do is we become the witness. I love the fact that they had an urgency to go to the people nearest to them. So they didn't go to all the world. They went to their brothers. And they're like, hey, man, listen, I care about you and I care about what's going on. And I just want you to know that I have had an experience that's transformative for me. And I would like to invite you to come and see for yourself. Come and experience Jesus too. And I want to say this to us, because I think that there are oftentimes that we can overcomplicate being a witness. Let me say it like this. I heard a preacher say this once. He said this: your only call from God is to be a witness, not a prosecutor, not a judge. Your responsibility is to simply be a witness. You don't have to be the defendant. You don't have to prosecute others for not living up to a standard that you think they should live to. You don't need to defend the faith. You don't need to be a judge of other people. Your job is to be a witness. And what does a witness do? They tell their story. What did the two disciples do? They said, I've had an experience. I just want to tell you I've had an experience, and I would love to invite you to experience it too. And so I think that oftentimes we will pull back. And I recognize I'm communicating to Christians right now, right? But we'll oftentimes pull back, I think, about being a witness because we feel like, well, I don't know all the answers. Or we'll pull back like, well, I'm not sure. What if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? I don't know if I know how to really pray as well as I should, or maybe I don't have as much scripture memorization to be able to. And here's what I'm saying to you. I want to encourage you to simply share what you have experienced. You don't have to know all the answers to know that God has done something in you. And the Bible actually gives us power to do this. I'm going to read a couple of verses. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, which, by the way, followers of Christ Jesus, when we put our faith in Jesus, we receive a deposit. The Holy Spirit of the living God takes residency up in us. The Bible says we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. And so Jesus is alluding to this, that you're going to receive a power, the same power that I have, you're going to receive when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And he says, you will be my witnesses. You will have the power to witness. And he says, you'll tell people about me everywhere. It's the Great Commission. And so no matter where you are in your journey of faith, whether you consider yourself mature, whether you know Bible verses or not, or no matter how naive you might feel, young in your faith, or how experienced you may be, our call is simply to be a witness. My responsibility is to have experiences with Jesus, to stay in his presence. And by being in his presence, I receive a power to just tell people, man, I might not know all the answers, and I might not always get it right, and I might not have it all figured out, but I know one thing, I'm experiencing him, and I would invite you, come. Experience him for yourself. It's the power to be the witness. Share your story. You're not the judge. You're not the prosecutor. You're not the defendant. You're the witness. You're the witness. All right, I'm going to finish here with point number three. So we saw these disciples experience Jesus, which is what we should be doing, making every effort to do, drawing near to God, seeking him with all of our hearts, to have a continual experience with Christ. And then recognizing that that gives us a power to simply be a witness. I'm going to share what God has done in me, what God is doing in me. And then here's where I want to finish, is the next thing that we see them do is give the invitation. Like, hey, come, man. Just, I've had an experience. I'm just witnessing to you that it's awesome. You should come check it out for yourself. I would love for you to experience what I've experienced. And here's what I want to say and how I want to get practical. That we know that Easter is right in front of us. Our church has just sent out over 20,000 or more mailers to invite people to be a part of our Easter weekend. We have been giving out to the people that attend our building. We've been giving out Easter invite cards. We've been encouraging our church that, hey, we have more space now. We can invite more people. We don't have to worry about the room necessarily being, you know, overloaded or too small. Hey, we're making room. It's why we did this expansion, because we're trying to maintain an urgency to go beyond these walls. And so as practically as I can initiate or encourage is to be, hey, witness, hey, person that's experiencing Christ Jesus, invite people, invite them to come see for themselves. Invite them to come and experience what you're experiencing. If you're a part of the Church on the Rock family, invite them to be a part of Easter. Invite them to come back for Mother's Day. Invite them this week. Like, just be the inviter. If you're a part of another church family, invite them to be a part of your church. Invite them to come. Invite them to your group. Invite them to just invite them. Be an inviter. Be the type of person that's just saying, come see for yourself, man. It's transformative in my own life. I would love for you to experience that same transformative power in your own life. I'm going to finish right here. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, and I love it. And I'm going to put all the emphasis on the very first word of the verse. The Bible says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And who do we know that needs to experience Jesus the way that we have? Who do we know that they might not come to any Sunday for church, but they might come to Easter Sunday? Who do we know that we might not even need to invite them to church? Maybe we need to invite them to our life group. Because they might not feel comfortable coming into the church building yet, but maybe they'll join you for the backyard barbecue or for, you know, whatever it is at your life group's location. Maybe they'll come be a part of that. Invite them. Maybe they just need the invitation to meet Jesus, and you can lead them in that prayer. Let's just be the ones that invite. Hey, come experience him for yourself. I'm going to finish with Romans chapter 10. And the Bible says this, verses 14 and 15. And this is what I'm trying to do right here, right? There's questions being asked. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. Hey, church family, hey, listener, whoever you may be, I'm just trying to be the one that's like, let's go get them. Let's go invite them. Let's have experiences with Jesus for ourselves. Let's be witnesses about the transformative power of Christ in our own lives and what he's doing in us. And let's have the confidence to invite them. Maybe it's to Easter. Maybe it's to your group. Maybe it's into a salvation prayer. Maybe it's just to lunch. Whatever it is, you would have to apply the invitation. What if we just invite them? Just say, I don't know all the answers. I don't have it all figured out, but I would love for you to come experience Jesus for yourself. All right, everybody, I'm going to end with prayer. I want to thank you again for being connected. Again, this is my primary serve is to really serve our team. And then my secondary serve is to try to serve those that are connected to us online. I again apologize for the complications that we've been having, but please rest assured we are aggressively working to resolve all of those things so that we can kind of get back to usual for however you receive this content. I just want to pray over you. Father, I love you. I thank you for the Church on the Rock serve team. God, I thank you for Church Online that's connected to Church on the Rock. I thank you, Father, for what you're calling our church to do in this season as we expand into new territory. I thank you, Father, for the opportunities that you have given us and the doors that you've opened for us. And then, Father, I thank you that you make yourself available to us, that we can experience your presence and know you more all the time. Thank you, Father God, that you have not called us to have all the answers, but just to be a witness, to just share what you've done in our own lives. And Father, I pray that you'd give us the boldness and the encouragement, Lord Jesus, to be intentional to give an invitation to Easter, to our groups, to whatever it is, Lord God, just to have the confidence to say, man, I would love for you to experience Jesus for yourself. And I just pray in Jesus' name, Father, that you would give us the ability and the encouragement to do those three things like we saw these disciples do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Okay, listen, before I end, maybe you were listening and you are not a follower of Jesus, but maybe you've been intrigued. Hey, listen, can I give you an invitation right now? Can I just invite you to step into a personal relationship with Jesus by putting your faith in him today? All right, if that's you, I want you to do something with me. I would love to welcome you to repeat a prayer after me, and then I want to invite you to take a next step after that. If that's you, here's the prayer. I want to encourage you to just repeat this prayer after me. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen." Listen, if you said that prayer with me, first of all, congratulations. Super proud of you. Best decision you've ever made. You now have the power to be a witness. You've had an experience with Jesus. What I would like to invite you to do, though, is to go to Church on the Rock's website at cotr.live. I would love for you to click our digital connection card. Let us know the decision that you've made, no matter where you are. Our hope and our heart is to help you connect to an authentic relationship with God and to a life-giving church and a community that will help you grow in your faith. We'd love to hear from you. Again, thank you all for staying connected. I love you guys so much. Let's pray that these issues we're having go away, we find the resolution, and we all get back to life as usual. Love you guys. See you soon.